You know, life is a journey. It's a journey that's made up of many things. Many relationships come. Some of them go. We have ones who are part of our lives that leave this world and go on to their destination, where that may be, based upon what they have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've kind of looked back over my life in the last few years. As a matter of fact, I turn a year older this year. Matter of fact, I'll be 42 this year. Hold on. Wait a minute. Before anybody says, I was told this and I was given this under good advice. You're as young as you feel. I picked 42 out of the air. You know, sometimes you have those spurts. You kind of have those bursts of energy, and you said, you know what? Hey, I might be a little older, but I've still got it, okay? And then when something happens, it's like, maybe I don't. Maybe I need to reconsider. But I look back over my life over the years, and every one of us, you know, when we go back and we look over our lives, and I'm sure everybody in here, if there are things you could go back and redo, you'd probably do that. If you had the opportunity to do that. And some say, nope, I would never go back and redo anything that's happened in my life, because everything happened for a purpose and I am where I am because of that, and I just wouldn't go back and redo anything else. Or redo anything, okay? Some would probably choose, if you had the ability to be able to do this, to choose maybe a different body or something. I don't know. I've heard people say that. Well, what if we could choose, you know, who we were differently or whatever? But as I was looking back over my life, I thought about a lot of things. I've been on quite a journey in my life. And as I look back and watch the way that things happened in my life to bring me to a point to where I had to make a decision. And I had to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Through circumstances, through situations, some things that happened in my life that a lot of people say, well, you know, why didn't you just quit? I mean, why didn't you just say to pot with all the rest of it and just go on with life and just whatever comes, happens, and whatever happens, happens. Well, you know, if you live life that way, you'd never accomplish much, okay? I mean, you would never accomplish much. And so, basically, the majority of my life was spent trying to do things my way. Trying to do things in my own abilities, within my own powers to do. Matter of fact, trying to control things in my own life, which can be difficult within itself, especially when you're trying to control things from your own abilities or lack of abilities. Well, in my life, I lost out on several opportunities, several things that came about in my life. I kind of come through life from the school of hard knocks, so to speak. Okay, when I got out of high school, I didn't go to college. I thought I had all the answers to life. Nobody could tell me anything. Matter of fact, I thought I knew it all. When I left home, okay, I thought that nobody knew any more about life than I did, and so therefore I'll just go out on my life on my own. Well, you learn a lot of things when you do that. You learn it the hard way, okay? So after being out on my own for a while, I went back to college. I went back to school and finished up there and thought that, you know, I wanted to be an officer in the Air Force. And I was in the Air Force, enlisted at the time. So I submitted everything to become an officer in the United States Air Force, all right? And I will tell you, I worked hard. I finished school, and basically, here's what I want you to understand about everything I'm going to tell you this morning. It was all about me. It was all about what I could accomplish. Hey, I went back to school. I studied. I had a family. Okay? Let me tell you something. It was hard. It was tough. But I finished. I graduated. Matter of fact, I graduated with enough grade point average to be able to even have a chance to be accepted inside of the program of the Air Force. And I thought, well, this is great. So I put together a package that went to the board, got accepted on the first board of the Air Force to become an officer in the United States Air Force, to go to OTS. Out of the first board. And I thought, and basically, let me tell you something, it just didn't happen, okay? You didn't get accepted on the first board. I got accepted on the first board, very first one. And I thought, well, look at there. See what I've accomplished in my own life. I don't need anybody else. I don't need any help. I mean, I can do this by myself. Well, it came time for me to leave, to go to OTS. And guess what happened? Some of y'all have heard this story before. Some of you haven't. Got ready to leave. I already had my orders in my hand to go. And there came down a message. The general that I worked for at the time called me into his office and said, I've got some bad news for you. I don't know how to tell you this, but all the OTS classes have been canceled indefinitely. Canceled. Let me tell you something. I'm sitting in the chair across from the general's desk when that happened. And it absolutely felt like somebody just stuck a pistol to the side of my head. And I'm thinking, now what are you going to do? Not a problem. So they tried everything they can to try to find a spot for me, even in the guard or the reserve, but they couldn't find one. So the general asked me, he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm getting out. What are you getting out for? You can't do that. And I said, oh, yes, I can. And because my ETS will be up in June, and I will have already paid back everything I need to pay back as far as time for them allowing me to go to college full time, okay, in the last 6 months. And so, therefore, I'm getting out at the end of June. So, guess what? June came, I got out the door I went. Do you know how helpless I felt when I walked out the front gate? Now, here's the bad thing about it. Listen, I've always had a United States Armed Forces identification card. I've had one of them all my life. From the time I was old enough to get one, all the way through my high school days, all the way up until through the time I was married, I've always had one. And guess what? I could drive on any military installation that I wanted to drive on because I had my identification card. Let me tell you something. The most helpless feeling I had was when I drove out of the gates of Charleston Air Force Base in South Carolina after just surrendering all of that before I left out of the gate. And it was like I got outside of the gate and it was like, all right, big boy, now what are you going to do? And somebody said, you mean you got out, did you have a job? No. Did you know where you were going? Yes. Did you have a place to live? No. Did you have a family? Yes. Do you have it all figured out? At that point, no. And matter of fact, let me tell you this. I was struggling at that point in my life. And I was struggling trying to figure out what was wrong with me. Something was missing. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I think many go through life struggling with finding this answer in their life. I did. Matter of fact, I thought I had it all together. I thought I had all the answers in life. I thought I knew everything that needed to be taken care of. But there was something that was missing. And I never could figure out what it was until I come face to face with it. And I came face to face with an individual who had enough concern about me and my life to share with me the truth of what I'm going to share with you today. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writing to the believers at the church at Ephesus. Matter of fact, Paul identifies himself as an apostle and a messenger of Jesus Christ himself by the will of God. And so it's a united authority by which Paul is going to speak here, and he's speaking to the believers that were in the church at Ephesus. And matter of fact, he's going to kind of go back in history just a little bit with them in chapter 2 and verse number 1 when he says, "And you hath he quickened," or "you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, of this life, of this age, of this culture that we live in today, the world system that we live in today. Paul says that you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Paul basically says here in verse number 1, you used to be dead because of your sins and acts of disobedience. Paul, speaking to the believers at the church of Ephesus, said, you used to be that way. You used to walk that way. Well, let me share something with you this morning. I put myself in verse number 1 because I was in the same boat. I was in the same position. I was in the same place. I was walking according to the course of this world, or the path of this world, or those things that took place in this world. That's the path that I was walking in. Let me say something to you this morning. The old life without God is subject to the powers of evil. I don't care how do you picture that, how you frame it, how you want to paint that. That is the truth of the Scripture. Because if you don't belong to God the Father through Jesus Christ His Son, then you walk according to the powers of the world. Whether you want to say that you are or not is irrelevant here. The truth of the matter is you are. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then your life does not walk in a pleasing manner to God, no matter how much good you do. Because here's what the Scripture says, we're all dead in trespasses and in sin. And the word there, dead, means spiritually dead. In other words, there's not anything that you can do to please God in this life without Jesus Christ. There's just nothing you can do. And I'm going to tell you something, I hate this, but that's tough to swallow sometimes. It was for me, okay? I looked at myself, I was good. I did good things. I contributed to a lot of things. I shared in a lot of things. And oh, by the way, just to kind of let you in on a little secret, I was going to church as well. And boy, I thought I was checking off all the boxes by being in church. Well, I hate to tell you this, but when you're dead in trespasses and sin, I hate to tell you this, but a dead person has no life in them. Spiritually dead, there is absolutely nothing that you can do at that point in time to please God in your life and what you're doing. And basically, here's where you're at. You're controlled by the spirit, which has the evil one as its source. That's what Paul says in verse 2. You're controlled by the evil one, or by the spirit that has the evil one as its source. Well, who is the evil one? Satan himself. That's who it is. But let me say one thing about Satan. Satan is not like God. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. God can be everywhere at the same time because God is a spirit. Listen to me. Satan is a created being. So he can't be everywhere at the same time. But what he does is he has his legion of angels with him that were cast out when Satan was cast out of heaven, that does the work for him, that provides the temptation that is a part of all of that, right? So here's what Paul said. Here's one of the things that you need to understand. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So in other words, life has been brought to you in some manner. Let's look at verse number 3. Paul said, among whom also We all had our conversation or life or walk in times past in the lust of our flesh. In other words, the desires of our own flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. The lust of our flesh. I remember when I came in after I got accepted to OTS, I'm going to tell you something. When that happened, you're talking about a grand day in my life. Matter of fact, I got called up to the general's office that day, and the exec officer of the general came in, and the general had me sit down in the chair in front of him. I sit down in the chair, and the exec officer came over and pinned brand new second lieutenant bars on my shoulder. Boy, and I looked at them things, and I thought, buddy, you've arrived. You have made it. And that's exactly, let me tell you something. What was going on inside of me, all of that was in fulfillment of my own fleshly desires. And let me tell you what it was doing. It puffed me up. Matter of fact, because here's what I began to say. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished under my own power. Did not need the help of anybody else, and certainly not the help of God. Because I have the ability within myself to do it completely. But Paul said, among whom? As he's writing to these, he said, among whom also? And I want you to notice as he changes pronouns in verse 3. You had you in verse 1. Now as we come to verse number 3, notice the pronoun changes now. And Paul says, we. Paul includes himself here. Among whom also we. Including himself. All had our conversation in time. We were all like that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your name is. We were all there. That's the way that we at one time walked and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let me say something to you. This pertains to all mankind. We all once lived this way. We followed the passions of self. It's me, myself, and I. That's the way we are. That's the way we live. That's the way we walked. Paul said, including himself. Paul even made the statement as he went through. Paul said, if there was anyone who could have boasted, it would have been me. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. He could go all the way down through his pedigree and said, if anybody could have boasted, it could have been me. My dear friend, listen to me. There's only one today that we can boast in, and that's Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. That is all. Paul goes on to verse 4. And I love this phrase. It's two words. But God. But God. But God. Who is rich in what? Who's rich in mercy. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. Let me tell you something. The only reason that I'm standing where I'm standing today is because of the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. That is the only reason I'm standing here today. Because my dear friend, listen to me. I don't deserve any of it. And every one of us that's seated in this auditorium this morning, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't deserve it either. Why? We were enemies of God. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 10 speaks about us being the enemies of God. Even while we were an enemy of God, He loved us so much that He sent His own Son to die and take our place. Jesus Christ did that. For us. God is rich in mercy and loves us with such an intense love. Even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience in our lives, He brought us to life with Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The only reason that you have spiritual life today is because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of you and who you are. Verse 5 and verse 6, I'm going to give you an English lesson this morning. How many of y'all know what prepositions are? Anybody? You know what prepositions are? How many of y'all can say all the prepositions? I see one hand going up. Did you know that there is a song that goes through and teaches you the preposition? How many of y'all know the song? Anybody? Any of y'all know the song, the preposition? Come on, now I know some of y'all do. I got one sitting here that had to learn it in school. Her name's Sharon, by the way. Okay. Prepositions. Listen, how many of y'all have seen them use an apple as an illustration with a worm that goes in and out of the apple and goes around? Oh, yeah, that's an illustration that they also use to define prepositions. Okay. But I'm not here to give you an English lesson to that degree. Verse 5 and verse 6, I just want to point something out to you, which is very interesting. Let me tell you something. Here's one of the interesting things. Let me just share this with you. Listen, if y'all don't know by now, I love English. English is one of my... I just wish I'd have spent more time learning it when I was in high school, okay? And it wasn't until later in life that I really found out English is the most... It's the most interesting subject to me of all the subjects that are outside of science and math. Okay, but English is a neat. Y'all are looking at me like, preacher, have you lost your ever loving mind? One of the things that I did, the next two verses, I went and diagrammed. How many of you ever diagrammed sentences? Well, if you diagram a sentence with a subject and a verb and a preposition in it, it's real easy to do. You put the subject on the top line, and you put a vertical line, then you put the verb, and then you draw a diagonal line down, and you put the preposition, and then if there's an object of the preposition, you draw a line out this way, and you put the object there. Is that correct, Miss Josie? Hot dog, see there? Okay. How many of y'all diagram sentences? How many of y'all, they don't do that in school anymore? All right, let's get to verse 5 and verse 6, okay, because I need to show you this. I want to show you the impact of what Paul is saying here by verse 5 and verse number 6. You're made alive when you were dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who was rich in His mercy and love for us while we were an enemy of His, Christ died for us. But verse 5 and verse 6 is kind of the culmination of all of it, because in the use of prepositions in verse 5 and verse 6, I want you to notice as Paul draws this together. I think Paul had a PhD in English. Never mind. Verse 5. Even when we were dead. Now, notice that phrase. Even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us or made us alive together. But notice the next phrase. In heaven, notice the preposition with who? With Christ. And then we have the phrase, by grace you're saved. Now notice verse 6. He raised us up together. He raised us up together, and then the next one is He made us sit together in heavenly places. He raised us up together in Christ Jesus, and He made us sit together in heavenly places, guess what? In or with. Verse 5 and verse number 6, I want you to notice three things in those two verses. Number one, He, God, made us alive together. Number two, He, God, raised us up together. And number three, He, God, seated us together. All three with the preposition with or in, depending on the translation you have in front of you. It will have either with or in. That is with Christ. Listen to me. The only way that you can be made to sit in heavenly places is with Christ. The only way that you can be raised up together is with Christ. The only way that you can be made alive together with Him is with Christ. The object of the preposition there, with or in, is Christ. And so, my dear friend, listen to me. That takes everything else out of the equation. There is nothing you can do to merit that outside of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you can have that in your heart and life. Paul summarizes all of it in those two verses before he comes to verse 7 and verse 8. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 7 and verse 8. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In other words, the riches that we have in the relationship that we can have with God through His Son Jesus Christ will be revealed to us through Jesus Christ in the days ahead. My dear friend, we'll not know the fullness of that until one day that we're seated together in heavenly places with Him, until we're together with Him fully. Listen, our redemption will not be made complete until we go home to be with Him. Then our redemption will be complete. Verse 8. Verse 7 is the purpose of God's action. Verse 8 through verse 10. For by grace. Now I know, listen, we quote this more times than anything else, but I want you to be careful with it when you look at it. Because we're going to kind of break it down. He says, for by grace. Unmerited favor. Let me tell you what that does. For by grace takes man completely out of the picture. It takes works completely out of the picture. It takes social standing completely out of the scripture. I don't care what country you were born in. It takes everything out of the picture. For by grace, the unmerited favor of God Himself, are you saved through what? Faith. Not works. Faith. Not works. Faith. Not self, faith. Not any of those things but faith. Faith in what? Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's called the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that God has raised Him from the dead, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul goes through and lays out what the definition of the gospel is. If you believe that Jesus Christ died and that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, then here's what the Scripture says. And you believe that in your heart and repent of your sin, then you can be saved. So for by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. And then he culminates it at the end of verse number 8. That not of yourselves, it's a what? It's a gift. My dear friend, I hate to tell you this, but you can't give yourself that gift. I can't give that gift to you. Nobody can give that gift to you. You can't develop that gift on your own. Let me tell you where that gift comes from. It comes from God the Father. That's where it comes from. He gave His Son because of His love for us. Say, well, preacher, how do you know He did it because of His love for us? Well, listen to me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, here's what it says. But God. What did Paul say back up here in verse number 4? But God. But God commended or proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, dead in trespasses and sin, Christ did what? He died for us. Verse 9, Paul says, just in case, there's this lingering thought He said, I want you to understand something. It's not of works, and here's the reason. The reason works is not involved in it is because if it were, then we would have room to be able to boast about where we were. Let me tell you something. Through, by grace, through faith alone, in Christ alone, takes self out of it. Folks, listen to me. There's no boasting at that point. Except what? What? Hold on. There's no boasting at that point except what Paul said. Paul said, if there's any boasting, if there's any glory, it's in the cross and not in ourselves. Verse 10. He said, we, including himself and the believers at Ephesus, here's what he said, we are his what? Huh? Who are we? Go ahead. I just want to have everybody listen. I want to let's do this together, okay? Verse number 10, so that everybody answers the same, okay? We are his what? There you go. Created in who? Under what? Which God hath before ordained that we, believers, should walk in them. Do you see that? No longer walking now according to the course of this world. The Greek word aeon, course, path. World, cosmos. The age and the culture and the world system that we know today. We no longer walk that way. So which way do we walk? We walk every day to the Spirit. To the Holy Spirit of God. Walking to those things that God's called us to do. Let me tell you what happens at that point. All the fleshly, selfish desires go away. Or they should. And there should only be one thing in our hearts, and our prayer should be this. And that's for God's perfect will to be done in our lives every day. For by grace are you saved through faith. All right. Let me share something with you this morning from my heart to you. I just want to ask you a simple question. Do you know for sure? I'm not getting ready to ask you, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven or not? It's not what I'm going to ask you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and if you don't want to die and go to hell today, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm not going to ask you that either. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I were to ask that question across the church, this, how many of y'all don't want to die and go to hell? I don't. Do you? Huh? See, that's not the question. That's not the question at all. Here's the question. The question is important that you understand the question. Who owns you? Who owns you? Who owns your heart? Is it you or is it God? That's what you have to answer. Who owns your life? You or God? That's the place you have to come to. That's where I had to come to in my own life, later in life, when I finally understood that. Who owns you? Well, I'll tell you who owned me. You ready to find out who owned me? Capital M-E with an exclamation point. Never could understand why life was so empty. Never could understand why life just didn't seem to have much purpose. Oh, it had a purpose right then. But it's looking out past those years. I was sitting at my computer this week. I just recently downloaded a couple of new photos that come from the Hubble telescope that's just been released. One of them shows a slice of the Milky Way galaxy. And all outside of that Milky Way galaxy, over 800 million stars. And then from this photo, the best that you can see, it just goes on and on and on and on. And I began to sit there and look at that and I said, how do you wrap your hands around something like space that, as far as we know, is infinite? And say that when we die, that's it. It's all over. To say that there is no God. To say that how in the world, you ready for this? How in the world could God love me with all of that? Amen? I want to ask you a question. Are you born again today by the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father, I thank you for words of the Apostle Paul as he penned them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Father, just to make it so clear and so plain. Father, for us to understand that the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. And it's only because of Christ. It's only because of Jesus Christ that we today could experience your great love for us and your mercy and your grace. Father, who have in Christ made us alive, who in Christ have seated us together, who in Christ has given us more than we could ever, ever imagine or hope for. Father, we thank you for your love. And Father, I pray for the one that may be in this building today that's an emptiness that's in their heart. They're looking for the answer. They've never come to the point to where they've seen and realized and understand that it's not about us, it's all about you. And Father, I pray for them on this journey. Father, they would see and understand and find that the answer is in Jesus Christ. And the most difficult thing that we have to do is to put self to the side and embrace Jesus Christ and Him alone. And be willing to admit and confess that we're nothing more than a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead to the things of God. Believing that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, who died and rose again on the third day, seated at your right hand today. Because of your gift of grace, we can experience salvation in our lives. Father, for some so simple yet so profound, a love so amazing, love so divine, but a love that loves us, and that while we were yet a sinner, an enemy of God, your grace and mercy is within reach. Father, I pray in just a moment as we sing together that our hearts would be encouraged by the truth of your word. Father, challenged when it comes to our own hearts and lives and where we are in this life, and understanding that the clock is ticking, and that we're not promised next week, next month, next year. And Father, as the scripture says, today is the day of salvation, to work out our own salvation, to understand where we need to be. So, Father, this morning, I just want to say thank you for your great love for us. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand together.